Saudi Arabia is purchasing a new flow of arms to moderate rebel groups in Syria, according to the New York Times. I'm joined by Shashank Joshi, fellow at the Royal United Services Institute. Shashank, what do you make of this report? Do you think it's credible?
I think the number of sources across a number of news agencies, along with the clear evidence of actual weapons reaching rebel units in the field, a process that's been documented for months now, makes this overall credible. I think what's open to question are some of the details. Is this being done with the connivance of Croatian intelligence? Is this being done with the knowledge and cooperation of the Jordanian authorities? How much did the Americans know? Clearly something, but how involved are they? I think all of those details are yet to completely crystallize.
Something along these lines was recommended by apparently by Clinton and Petraeus in the autumn, but overruled by Obama. Does it look as if that policy is happening anyway?
It looks as if the policy is happening at arm's length and in a perhaps slightly diluted form. If we were to guess, perhaps, and triangulate some of these news reports, it seems that the Americans are involved in at least vetting some of the units receiving these arms. Other than that, it seems that the authorities in Washington have tried to keep a bit of distance from this and preferred to go for Saudi funding. They preferred to go for other intermediaries. Seem that they're a little bit afraid of stepping too deep into this deal. I don't think we're seeing the fruition of the Petraeus Panetta plan just yet.
How effective do you think this could be? And is it possible to somehow arm moderate groups but not extremist groups? Surely, if arms go to Syria, they're going to get into the hands of extremists, whether the funders like it or not.
Well, the big question, I think, is why is the vetting process and process of arms provision different this time around to last year, when it was exactly that problem? The receipt of arms by extremist groups led the US pressure to halt those flows. And I think one answer may be deeper American involvement in that vetting process and in oversight. And certainly the evidence so far is that it's what have been described as a secular or nationalist or at least non-extremist units of the FSA that have been receiving arms. So on the basis of evidence so far, it is working to some extent. In terms of broader success, it depends what the aim is. I think there's a widespread recognition. The aim is not just hasten the fall of Assad, but I think almost as important as that is to make sure that when Assad does fall, there's more of a balance between the jihadist and non-extremist parts of the Syrian rebellion. And I think it's also to shift some of the fighting to the south. And I think we've seen diminishing returns in the north after those really, really tremendous rebel gains over the past 6 months. And I think there's a conscious effort to push fighting closer to Damascus, closer to the south, closer to the Jordanian border, and really open up a new front and therefore put new pressure on the Syrian regime. So I don't think people are seeing this as a tipping point. I don't think it means the regime is seen as deep, you know, much closer to collapse. But I think it is opening up a number of new dimensions to the conflict. In that respect, it probably is going to be successful.
John Kerry is in Europe this week and has offered more than talk to the Syrian opposition. Do you think there's any chance that he could make you know, some sort of channeling of weapons more explicit from the Americans?
Well, I think the leaks you're seeing is the process by which the American administration is making those signals, is making it more explicit. You know, leaks occur for a reason, and all this is down to very good journalistic work done by a number of people who've meticulously monitored details of weapon flows. The leaks coming out of the U.S. and other officials, I think, have their own purpose, which is to make sure the U.S. Salvages some of the enormous reputational harm done by its policy in the past 2 years, done by the stories of broken promises that we've seen. And I think Kerry and I are well aware that had they persisted in this policy, they were really losing leverage and influence over the rebellion, as evidenced, I think, by the opposition's unwillingness to meet Kerry until he signaled that shift more publicly. So I think US policy may not be shifting dramatically, and we, again, as I said, this is at arm's length. This isn't the Panetta-Petraeus plan. This is not US arms flooding in. But Kerry will certainly have realised the need to show some sort of shift to really have any hope of leveraging influence with the rebels.
So, do you think the focus now of the crisis has shifted from talks about talks with the opposition offering some sort of conditional dialogue to now back to the military campaign?
Well, I think what we've seen over the past month or so has been both sides signaling the willingness to talk, but under conditions that they know will be unacceptable to the other. And although both sides have been more aware of the need to appear reasonable, the need to appear as that they are in favour of dialogue, I honestly don't think either side has changed their underlying position, which is that time is on their side, that momentum is on their side, that there is no need to make meaningful compromises at this point because they can ride this out. I think on that assessment, the rebels are probably closer to the truth. The rebels probably have more cause to believe that. But I honestly don't think that was a realistic prospect anyway. And I think with news of these arms proliferating as that sort of becomes more widely acknowledged, as it begins to make itself felt in the South, it will further diminish any real incentives to make big compromises and lose momentum you might otherwise gain by fighting on.
Okay, Shashank, thanks very much.
No problem.